Amen. Thank you. You be seated. And, good to see you. So we're glad that you're able to be here. And do be prayed. There are lots of sickness going around in our community. And that Leslie didn't have any kids a couple days last week. They were out with the flu. So be praying for those that are sick. Keep yourself safe and healthy. And when you are sick, stay home. Nobody else wants your germs, but let somebody know if you're sick, because we want to be praying for you. And if we don't know you're sick, we just naturally assume you're playing hooky from church. So so let's know, hey, I'm not playing hooky, I'm sick. Pray for me. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to, over the next several weeks, look through the book of Daniel, and many of the stories of Daniel we're familiar with, probably. Daniel is a marvelous book that reminds us of God's faithfulness and how we as God's people are called to live a faithful life. And all throughout Scripture, and really all throughout history, God has called his people to be different. Now, we live in a culture that does not like different. In fact, we most of the time try to blend in, don't we? And when people might dress a little different, or they talk different, or they do different things, we kind of look at them and say, they're weird. But really, the reality is God's people are supposed to be a little weird. We're not supposed to be like everybody else and living because this world is spinning around and just going kind of along by itself in the philosophies and the ways of this world, contrary oftentimes to the ways of God. And the reality is, the world is at war and it is set against God. Even though God created it, it has rebelled and because of this disease called sin. And so this morning, as we begin the book of Daniel, we're going to talk about making the decision. You see, it's easy to say, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord, when you're around people that are serving the Lord and doing what God calls us to do. But the reality, and when things are going good. But it's a different story when things are going hard, or when it seems like you're the only one that's trying to do what God would have you do. And it seems like that sometimes, that we're the only ones trying to serve the Lord and be faithful to what he says. But the reality is, we're not the only ones. There's a lot more believers than the world would have us think. But also that God calls us to be faithful to him no matter what everybody else is doing. And the time for us to make that decision is not when the battle or the test comes, but before it even arrives. And we're going to see how important that is in Daniel's story. So read with me in verse 1. Of the book of Daniel. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but were good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away the portion of delicacies and the wine that which they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were all in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And so the opening book of Daniel sets kind of the historical stage for this story. Though Daniel lived almost 3,000 years ago, the things that he and his friends endured and the things that he wrote about in these 12 chapters are very applicable to us in 2025 in our world. And I want us to see that God has a word for us from the book of Daniel and some important things for us to take away, because just as Daniel lived in a culture and time where even the nation of Israel had all but in name only turned its back on God, they really weren't the nation of Israel any longer. They weren't faithful to God. Even this faithful southern tribe that was a little bit better than the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom by this time had already been taken captive, but the southern kingdom held out a little bit longer because they were a little bit more faithful. But the time came when the leaders and the people stopped worshiping God. They stopped trusting God. In fact, the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will, was the king of Judah had made a treaty or an agreement that he would depend on Egypt for protection rather than going and asking God to protect them. You would think that being God's people, that would have been their first reaction, was to go to God for help. As the psalmist says, the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. And yet they had forgotten that because they stopped worshiping. That worshiping started with stopping daily prayers, and it stopped going to the temple regularly. It began with, missing a festival observance or two, or failing to bring an offering or two. People said, no big deal. And I tell you that making little decisions to forget about God lead to big consequences. And perhaps you've seen that in your own life, that you make a decision, say, you know what, yeah, God, you know, I'll just this one time. But when we do that, when we miss church once, missing it again gets a little easier. And then we say, well, I know I need to read my Bible, but I'll skip it just this one time. And pretty soon we're not in church, we're not in God's Word. And before long, God's nowhere to be seen. Not because He left us, but because we left Him. So how in a... we find ourselves in a similar culture in America where, listen, there's a lot of forces in this world pulling us away from Christ and from the ways of God. And so how do we live faithfully in that kind of environment? Well, Daniel gives us a good reminder, an example of what we're supposed to do and how we can remain faithful. And so I think there's three things that Daniel would have us remember as we begin this series. And the first is this: we have to understand that we live in a hostile world. I've heard lots of folks proclaim, you know, what great thing it is for a new president to come. And whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you support our president or not, understand he's not Jesus. And he's not the Savior. Jesus is. And though I think that this president and his policies will probably be a little bit more friendly to the church, to Christianity, this world is still set against the church. We have to understand that. We have to understand that our enemy is not other believers. Our enemy is not the preacher. Our enemy is not God's Word. Our enemy is Satan. But Satan is smart and he's cunning. He knows that if he can get us to forget that he's the enemy, and for us to think that we're each other's enemy and we're fighting amongst ourselves, he has much better chance of thwarting what God wants to do. He can't ever defeat what God wants to do, but boy, he can sure frustrate God's efforts, doesn't he? And frustrate God's people. And yet we have to remember that we live in a hostile world, but as we live in this hostile world, we have to make the determination we are going to live a life that honors and pleases God, and that we are going to do the things that God would have us to do, whether it's popular or not. We know very little about these four men, Daniel and his three friends. We know that the ending El is the name of God in Hebrew, and so all four of their names in some way reflect the one true God. Well, one thing they did when they brought him into Babylon was they changed their names. And the names they gave them were not reflective of Israel's God, but the gods of the Babylonians. False gods. And though they were given these names of false gods, they continued to be faithful to the one true God. And so they were given opportunity to, be taken care of. They had a portion of the king's cafeteria plan, if you will, set before them. So they were going to eat well, they were going to drink well, they were going to be taken care of. And yet, part of the problem was that probably part of those provisions were pork that the Israelites weren't supposed to eat. Also, Babylonians didn't drain the blood from the meat properly, and so all of it was unclean. And so Daniel knew that, yeah, they could get by because they were in this foreign land, and the priest wasn't around, and they were being told this is what they had to do. And so it could be excused. And yet Daniel and his three friends said, you know what, we do not want to defile ourselves, so let us eat vegetables. Boy, the eunuch said, well, you know, I don't know about that, for the king gave you this provision, and if you don't eat it, then it's going to reflect badly on me, and I put my head at risk. He said, I ain't going to, you know, go to the chopping block for you. And so Daniel very cunningly said, you know what, why don't we do this? Why don't you let us just for 10 days eat vegetables and drink water and see how we look, and then at the end of that time, whatever you decide, we'll be okay with. So Daniel understood that he was found himself in a hostile environment, but he understood that even though he was in a hostile environment, he still belonged to God, and what God had told him hadn't changed. See, God doesn't change his mind about right and wrong based on public opinion. What God says in his word is right all the time. And what God says is wrong in his word is wrong all the time. Regardless of what we as humans think, or even what we as Americans think or vote, God's word is still God's word, and it doesn't change. And we are left with the choice, well, are we going to align ourselves with God's word, or are we going to align ourselves with man's wisdom? And most of the time, most folks say, well, I'll just pick God's wisdom because that's what everybody else is doing. And I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be different. I don't want people to think I'm nuts or anything. But here's what Daniel knew and understood, that God had given them these standards not to hurt them, but because it was what was best for them. And Daniel knew God was faithful enough that he was going to look out for him, however he accomplished that. And so he continued to do the things, and we'll see as we read through the first half of this book, Daniel and his three friends continue to live as men of God. And God rewards them and uses them in a mighty way. So understand, yes, the world is supposed to hate you. It's supposed to think you are a little odd. And the reality is, when the world thinks that you're doing great, there's a problem. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not to be good citizens. God's word tells us that we are to be good citizens, that we're to be salt and light in this world, that we're to make a difference. So that means, yeah, we're involved in politics, and we vote, and we are involved in society and the things of society, but we stand for God's word and we let that impact how we vote. We let that impact how we spend our money, how we use our resources, how we spend our time. Understand that you are supposed to be a little different. And boy, if you are living faithfully, and the more faithfully that you are living to God's word, the more and more different you will be from this world. But that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a good thing as far as God's concerned. And so understand that this world is not our friend, that this world is not our home. We are sojourners or pilgrims passing through to an eternity that is our forever home. And so we're getting ready as we live this life for all eternity. And so, we first have to understand we live in a hostile world, a world that is set against the God that created it. But then secondly, Daniel would say to us, don't be afraid to stand for God. The reality, and we mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, listen, the Christian life and what God wants us to do most of the time is not hard to figure out. Most of the time, it's pretty clear if we read God's Word, especially if we read God's Word and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand, we know what God would have us to do. The difficulty and what's hard is the doing it. Because oftentimes God does ask us to do things that are countercultural, that are unpopular, that may be costly to us. And so Daniel reminds us as we open up this book, don't be afraid to stand for God. Even if you stand alone, you're never really alone because God is with you. And God says in His Word, He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. So don't be afraid to stand for God. And we see that in some of these things that we're going to read about, things that I think are actual events that happened. I don't think they're just made up stories. I think they actually happened. And they happen to remind us, almost 3,000 years later, that God has spoken, God expects us to obey Him, and God will be with us. We oftentimes don't see how God will work things out. But as we read through just the beginning chapters of this book of Daniel, we'll see that happens a lot. And yet over and over again, we'll also see that what happens is that God works things out, often in unusual or unexpected ways. God is faithful to us. And God will be with us and God will give us strength. And so we're reminded, don't be afraid to stand for God. When man's law and God's law are on opposite ends, it's much better to be found standing on God's side than man's side. And so don't be afraid to make a stand for God. Now make sure it's that you're standing for God and not yourself or some political agenda. But stand for what God says. And stand on God's Word. There's no surer thing to stand on than God's Word and our relationship with Him. So don't be afraid to stand for God. And then remember, lastly, that God gives us what we need. Man, do we see that? And we'll see that throughout this great book as we go through these 12 chapters. But here in the first chapter, we find, you know what? We find these four men that we know largely nothing about. Other than they were likely from significant families in Judah. And we know they were good-looking guys. We know they were smart. As we read through this, we find a few times Daniel noting, God gave. Including, if you'll look with me at verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles to the treasure house of his God. What? Remember, Jehoiakim, as king, as you read the books of history, if you read Kings and Chronicles, Jehoiakim and those that came before him, not very good kings. And for the bulk of them, did not honor God and did not live according to God. And can I tell you, as the leader went, so went the nation. And can I tell you, the same is true today? And not just in America, but all any nation. Our leaders kind of set the tone and the course for everything that happens. And if we put leaders in place and we follow leaders that disregard God and tell us that God's not important, and why that was okay for, you know, centuries and centuries ago, but this is 2025, and we need to get with it, then we shouldn't be surprised when the majority of people in the world say the same thing. But just because a majority says something does not mean it's correct. I mean, oftentimes and a lot of times throughout human history where the majority has been very wrong about things. And yet, we're reminded that the Lord gives us what we need. Can I tell you that it seems to us, why would God do that? Why would God send his people into captivity? And the reason is because God wanted to purify his people and to call them back to him. They had largely left. Can I tell you that when your children, when your sweet, innocent babies did something wrong growing up, did you just smile at them and say, oh, isn't that cute? If you loved them, that's not what you did. If you loved them, you disciplined them. Why? So that you would hurt them? No. The motive of biblical discipline is never injury. It's always correction. And so God will sometimes give us spiritual knocks upside the head. He'll give us spiritual poundings on our rear when we need it. And that, can I tell you, there's times when all of us need it in our life. And thank God that God does love us enough that he disciplines us. He doesn't give us our own way, because our own way would lead to our destruction. But God gives us what we need. And so God had given to the king and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, into the hand of the Babylonians. Doesn't seem fair to us. Doesn't seem likely to it, but God is always right, and God had a purpose for what he was doing. And God can use even unholy things to bring about his purposes. God can use anyone and anything he chooses to bring about his purposes. And ultimately, what did happen, as the children of Israel and the nation of Judah were in captivity in foreign lands, guess what happened? Eventually, they did come back to God. And there eventually was revival. And for what the nation of Israel struggled with for a long, long time, idolatry, after they came back from the captivity, they didn't struggle with idolatry anymore. Now, they had other things that they struggled with, to be sure. But idolatry wasn't one of them. God was teaching them some important lessons. So he gave the king and the leaders into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, into the Babylonians. But it also says he had given Daniel and his three friends wisdom and understanding. He gave them smarts. Can I tell you, even our intellect is given to us by God and is a gift from God. And we need to use it for his glory and his honor. And then God also gave them health. God blessed through these vegetables. Now, all of us know. Listen, we on a, and you know, vegetable, there's, you know, my vegetable, mashed potatoes are good vegetables, especially if it's got some gravy on it. Macaroni and cheese, that's a good vegetable. So, wait a minute, that's not, hey, Golden Corral, Kansas is a vegetable, it's good enough for me. But the vegetables that they were talking about here probably was Brussels sprouts. It, carrot, broccoli, cauliflower, beets. Healthy stuff without any butter and without Velveeta cheese, because they didn't have Velveeta cheese yet, and that makes everything taste a little better. They didn't have any of that. And we know that when we're on a day, if we were just to eat vegetables, healthy vegetables without Velveeta cheese and a bunch of butter, what would happen? You'd lose weight. But as we read the story, guess what Daniel says happened? They got fatter and healthier looking. And in fact, they looked healthier and better than all the others that were eating all that bad meat. Now, it wasn't just these four, by the way, that were taken away. It was several, probably hundreds. But these four wouldn't eat. But the great majority, the super majority, didn't have a problem digging into that pulled pork and drinking from that king's wine. And yet, God gave them health, gave them wisdom. Why? Because God knew they were going to need it. Because Daniel tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, brought these four and all the rest of them, interviewed all of them to try to find those that would be his servants, his close advisors. And guess who the four that he picked were? These four Hebrew boys, these four Hebrew men that were faithful to do what God had told them to do. And God is going to bless them and give them, especially Daniel, is eventually going to have a significant part to play and a very important, significant, high role in the kingdom of Babylon. Why? Because God was going to raise Daniel up. Because God had given Daniel understanding and courage and the determination to do what God said was right, and he was going to do it regardless of what anyone else thought and regardless of what circumstances were. And so we have to understand we live in a hostile world, a world that wants to pull us away from God. But we have to remember we are not to be afraid to stand for God. And then lastly, remember that God always gives us what we need. And so we have to make the determination now that we are going to be and do what God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. Every one of us have to make that decision individually for ourselves. Nobody can make it for us. But you see, we can say that we've made that decision, but if we truly have made that decision, this is when we know we've made the decision. When adversity comes, or when there's things we'd rather be doing come, do we still do what we've determined that we're going to do? Verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart. He made the determination he was going to do what God said do. He was going to be faithful to God, and God used that. That decision changed the course and restored the nation of Israel to God, at least for a season, because of the faithfulness of these four Hebrew boys. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, as we open up your word and we find ourselves in similar circumstances in many ways to Daniel, Lord, our prayer is you help us to be faithful, to stand for you. Lord, not be afraid to be a little bit different. Lord, to not seek to live as the world lives, but seek to live as you would have us to live. To let our light shine brightly before this world, that they may see our good works and glorify you, as the scripture reminds us. That's what we're to be about. Ephesians tells us that you've created good works that we should walk in them. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to determine, make this determination right now, right here, right today, that we are going to be faithful to you. That we will see you work in our life, in our church, in our community, and in our world. Lord, the reality, this world's in a mess. And the reality is only you can fix it. But Lord, our prayer is you would use us as your instruments to do that. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be willing to obey you and to live for you, to be a little different. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing this hymn of response, God spoke to your heart, there's a decision you need to make. Today would be a great day to make that decision. So let's sing, Only Trust Him.